Live from the booth, Scott Graham and James Lofton. Of course, Westwood One coverage of the Hall of Fame game between the Texans and Bears can be heard right here on The Fan starting at 8. Scott, James, guys, it's so great to hear your voices again.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back again.
It would be so great if this were a regular season game with these two young quarterbacks. We'd be drooling over it, but it's the Hall of Fame game, and it's about the Hall of Famers getting inducted.
So as it goes to that, I'm both teams I find pretty intriguing. Obviously, still a little hurt over the way the Texans Browns playoff game went, but yeah, I don't know if you guys remember that. It did not go well. Year two of CJ Stroud. Where does this thing go from where they started it, which is way higher than anybody expected it?
Yeah, you're right. The expectation level for the Houston Texans is through the roof, literally. They're a team that everybody's thinking, if they can get into the postseason again, maybe they can attack the Kansas City Chiefs and knock them off their high horse. And you have to look at the quarterback position. You look right there first, and the way that C.J. Stroud played last year, the calm of a veteran, the efficiency of a quarterback who was, I'm going to say, game manager, with the skill of a guy who could make plays happen from anywhere behind the pocket, outside the pocket, on the move. He was able to do about everything that he wanted to do, and it seemed like every time he threw up a 50-50 ball, Nico Collins came down with it.
Taking a look at this game tonight. You got Bears, you got Texans. How much do we expect to see of some of these guys tonight, if at all?
I don't think you're going to see a lot of a number of players, and a lot of that goes back now to how things are done in the National Football League. And, you know, I do the preseason games for the Philadelphia Eagles, and over the course of time, especially when in this world of joint practices, there's so much work that's done during the course of a week once we get into the heart of the preseason in August that, you know, they'll get their work done, and it's in a controlled setting, and it limits, theoretically, the possibility of injury. So with that, this is an extra game added onto what is already that schedule. So as the fourth game, I don't think you're going to see a lot. And, you know, for the Bears, you're talking about 38 new players and a completely new look and revamped offense that, you know, they're pretty excited about what they might be able to do offensively after years of kind of being stuck in the mud a little bit offensively. But right now, tonight, you're going to end up seeing guys who are fighting for positions. And we'll find out more about how things expand from the quarterback position and especially from this flashy group of wide receivers as we get a little bit closer to the opener, because you're probably not going to see a lot of these guys over the course of the month of August.
The evolution of the preseason is something we talked about and have talked a lot about. Obviously, there's less games. You see the starters even less now than you did maybe 25 years ago. So I guess to go to James here, what is the value of playing time for the ones now? Like, is it, I compared to maybe 25 years ago, where in this game, maybe you get a quarter or a half of ones where you might not get that tonight?
Well, I think now the preseason is paper plates. You're out there, you're going to have a meal. You're going to be served a meal. You're going to get hot dogs and burgers. You're not going to get fine dining, and you're not going to get the best china out there. But you will get a kind of a sample of what the team looks like. The coverages on offense, the blocking schemes, when you really look at them in detail against the defense. So those things you're going to see, but you're able to replicate that with a lot of work at your own facility where you do not run the risk of getting guys running into each other over and over again. Because I think what has happened is the players have become so well conditioned and trained during the offseason with the OTAs and the offseason training programs. They come in such great shape. They're ready to play football. All they have to do is get the few bumps and bruises from their own players getting bumped around a little bit, but you don't want to take the risk when you're paying the high dollar amounts that you're paying for each and every one of these players, because you spend so much money on your starters, spend so much money on the skill playing positions, that the backups are not guys that you would want to have for an entire 17-game season to replace a starter that you're paying, you know, 10 figures in money.
Boy, fellas, heck of a class we've got going into the Hall of Fame this Saturday. Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis, Randy Gradishar, Steve McMichael. Both of you, I want an answer from both of you guys. Who are you excited to see?
I think I'm excited to see, and again, one of the beautiful parts about this is you show up over the course of the time we found out who was coming in at the Super Bowl to now, and you have expectations. And I get lucky enough the night that they are informed to talk to each one of them. And there's various levels normally of excitement. It's not surprise that night anymore, but they're still in the glow of finding out the news. And then there's that little bit of trepidation that they have about, okay, well, now I'm going to have to go to Canton. I'm going to have to make the speech. I'm going to have to perform in a way that is befitting me. When you get here, it's always interesting to me to find out which guys have taken that time and have turned this moment completely into their own. And we'll get a handful of guys who will do that every year. The fact that the Chicago Bears are shown as well as they are, I had a great talk with Devin Hester the night of the announcement of, you know, him going into the Hall of Fame. And we'll talk to him again tonight, hopefully at halftime at tonight's game. But, James, in general, to me, it's always interesting to find out what the perception is from the Hall of Famers when they find out in February, and then how different that can be sometimes when they're standing at that podium we're staring at across the stadium on Saturday.
I think one of the best things about it is the merger that you get with the players who are going in your class. Randy Gratichar played in the 70s. A couple of these kids were not born until the 70s. So you look at that just right off the surface. Then you take Andre Johnson, the first Houston Texans player to go in who was a full-time Texan. And when you watch him, you go, okay. Then you look at Devin Hester. Those are two guys from the University of Miami. And we remember that fever that the University of Miami had. So those players are super excited. I talked to Warren Sapp and Mike Irvin. They're super excited about their fraternity getting expanded a little bit. So there are all these connections that you have, and the different franchises really acknowledge these players and support them and hold them up, because it's the ultimate other than winning a Super Bowl. And you look at the Steve McMichael story, his weight, because they had so many great players on that dominant defense with the Chicago Bears. He had to wait, his illness, his overcoming it, holding in there, and his wife here to be his spokesperson. I mean, just some phenomenal stories. I don't think there will be a dry eye at these ceremonies when these guys are up giving their speeches.
So I know this can be a bit of a loaded question, but like, Michael Dean Perry was one of my absolute favorite players. Him and Reggie White, probably my two favorite football players ever. So, like, when I see that Michael Dean Perry, regardless of Hall of Fame case, isn't in the Hall of Fame, it bums me out a little bit. Start with you, Scott. Is there somebody not currently in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that you would love to see join the ranks as soon as next year?
Well, again, I'm gonna basically punt on this to a certain degree because I kind of thought Antonio Gates could have very easily been a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think Antonio Gates is one of the most impactful players at that tight end position that I have ever seen. Not to mention that, you know, according to the people that played in my fantasy football league, I had a little crush on him. But I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I would imagine that that will be taken care of when we get to the Super Bowl this year. We're going to find out that number 85 will be in.
Well, you mentioned Antonio Gates, and I was on the coaching staff with the San Diego Chargers at the time, and he certainly is Hall of Fame worthy. It's interesting as you look at it, and I tell my good friends this. In February, I'm one of the Hall of Fame selectors. We get a list of about 135 guys, and I tell my friends, I say, okay, go down the list and pick out five guys. And they'll start looking, and they're, okay. And they'll go, okay, I'm done. I say, you're only on number 38. I say, you have 97 more guys to review before you pick your final five. And it, like I said, winning a Super Bowl is great. This is the ultimate individual honor that's also reflected as to how your team did while you were playing. So it is a combination of so many different things. And when we are fans of a certain team and we get to watch a certain player and we fall in love with them, and he was great, like Michael Dean Perry was, we think that he should be in the Hall of Fame, and those stories echo throughout the league and throughout the NFL cities around the country.
James, we've talked about the change in importance in the running back position. I think you've started to see that you know, the once upon a time elite running backs maybe now going to other positions, including even on the defensive side of the ball. And it sure seems like we're getting fewer and far between where we have running backs that truly fit Hall of Fame numbers. And I'm just curious, as maybe those Hall of Fame cases start to dry up a little bit more, what position do you think stands to benefit the most when you have those Hall of Fame conversations? Is it interior offensive linemen? Is it another position that maybe I'm not pointing out there?
And you mentioned the offensive line, and it is so hard to look at that position. We had Joe Thomas, who we looked at his streak, his ability to play all those games. We looked at him as the stalwart of a team that wasn't winning, and he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. The guys who are playing on the interior, guards and centers, they're tougher to define. And for the casual football fan, we're looking at numbers. We're looking at what we got with our fantasy football league. And when you watch the defensive side of the ball, it's the same thing. Who's getting a lot of interceptions? The strong safety position, which used to be the intimidator, has been softened a little bit because you're not allowed. I heard Frank Minifield in the opening talking about he loved it when you used to be able to knock the quarterback down and knock his helmet off, and you weren't ejected from the league. So defense, certain players, defensive linebackers, middle linebackers who may not get sacks, who may not get interceptions, those are always hard to define.
All right, guys, I want to get your early impressions on the Cleveland Browns heading into the 2024 season, fellas. Playoff team a season ago, Deshaun Watson's supposed to be healthy this year. Nick Chubb's supposed to be healthy as well. What do you guys think?
I think that, you know, I think your head coach is a very bright, tactical coach. I think that your quarterback, you know, at one time had as much physical talent and, you know, electricity about him as, you know, anybody in the league. And, you know, can you recapture? You don't have to recapture all of that. Can you recapture a chunk of that? And so much of it is quarterback driven, and there's so many things that are going to pop up along the way in terms of, you know, injuries and the like. But if the quarterback is healthy, and I'm not going to come up with a percentage, but a portion of what he was, then I think they're right back in the mix again as one of those teams. Doesn't get a whole lot easier with what they've got to do divisionally, but at the same time, I think they're right back in the mix.
I've got to go along with Scott because I was at the game when Deshaun Watson entered the game for the first time with the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien was the head coach of the Houston Texans at the time, and when he met with the broadcast crew, he told us, well, Deshaun's not going to play. We're going to go on with the starter. He was beaten out. He came in at halftime, second half, first play, rolled out, threw a ball to DeAndre Hopkins, and I have a shaved head. I don't have hair on the top of my head. The hair that supposedly was on the top of my head, I felt like it was standing up. There was an electricity that went through that stadium, and Scott is right. He was one of the most electric players in the National Football League when he first came out. Can he get back to that? Because what the problem is we know what that looked like, and he hasn't been close to that in the last couple of years. So I would hold my fingers, cross them, say prayers at night, that he can recapture that form. And you looked at what Amari Cooper was able to do. So you get the other receivers to go along with that. And if you can throw the ball in this league and you can play a little bit of defense, and the Cleveland Browns can play a lot of defense, they can be a contender.
Gentlemen, you're both contenders. You're both dynamite. We appreciate you. Can't wait to hear you on the game tonight. Football's back, and you guys are a huge part of that. We appreciate you for joining us like you do every year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yep.
Two lovely gentlemen there, Hall of Famer James Lofton, Scott Graham. They're in the booth for the Hall of Fame game, Texans-Bears, tonight starting on the Fan at 8 o'clock.